and blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed to the Jewish people in the final hours of his life, reminiscent of Yaakov and his blessings. And today we are going to open the fourth reading, and we're going to talk about Zevulun. Zevulun and Yisachar show up in the same verse together. Chapter 33 and verse 18, the Torah says, "Well, the Zevulun Amar, and to, or perhaps of Zevulun, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Smach Zevulun b'tzeisecha, Zevulun, rejoice in your goings, v'yisachar b'ehalecha, and Yisachar in his tents." That is the literal meaning. So Rashi talks about the notion of the five tribes here who needed an extra shot in the arm, who were not necessarily as strong or had as much stamina as the others. That's a subject for another morning. I want to focus on the notion of Smach Zevulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar b'ehalecha. The fact that both Zevulun and Yisachar are bracketed in the same blessing. And there's an emphasis here on Smach Zevulun, on Zevulun's joy. So Rashi tells us that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu put Zevulun and Yisachar together in the same blessing, Zevulun v'Yisachar also shutafes. These two tribes had a partnership between them. Now Zevulun lived in Tel Aviv. Well, Yafo, there wasn't Tel Aviv yet, but the point was he lived at the seashore. As it is written, Zevulun l'choif yamim yishkein. Zevulun lives at the seashore. So what do you do at the seashore? In a country where the primary product was agriculture, right? Like today we're the startup nation, then we used to be the wheat, barley, pomegranate, and grape nation. So when everybody's planting and you live at the seashore, what are you doing? How are you making a living? So Rashi says, Yotze l'prakmatya. Zevulun was the trader. He had the international waterways available to him. He was right there. A huge harbor and a tremendous amount of merchandise being imported and exported. Bisfinos in watercrafts, because that was once upon a time the way commerce was done, primarily with watercraft. V'noisin l'techpiv, so he was mistaker. He made a very good living. Wealthy merchants. V'noisin l'techpiv shal Yisachar, and then he would provide, quite literally it means he would place in the mouth of Yisachar, but it means he would provide sustenance, food for Yisachar. V'heim and Yisachar, conversely, yeshvim v'oiskim b'teira. Yisachar devoted themselves primarily to the study of Torah. L'fichach higdim Zevulun l'Yisachar. So there's two things being conveyed here in this Rashi. The first thing is why are they bracketed together? Each shevet, each tribe, ostensibly, should get its own blessing. And the answer is that Zevulun and Yisachar operated in tandem. There was a common goal. Yisachar would make the money, Zevulun would make the money, and if he had enough for him and for Yisachar, Yisachar would be able to be provided for so he could study Torah, and Zevulun would provide for the Torah study. So therefore, they come together. They're bracketed in a single blessing. The question then is, we the Jewish people are the people of the book, and Torah is the most important endeavor. Why does Zevulun come first? It should be Yisachar and Zevulun, not Zevulun and Yisachar. Torah should be primary. Torah should have the greater emphasis. Okay, fine, Yisachar is the guy who funds it, but the Torah is the main thing. So Rashi says, Fichach, and that's also the reason Higdim Zevulun liYisachar, that Zevulun is spoken of before Yisachar. And the reason is, Sheteirase shal Yisachar ayidei Zevulun haysa. Because the Torah of Yisachar could only happen through Zevulun. So Zevulun, it's the chicken or the egg. Zevulun causes Yisachar, not the other way around. It wasn't Yisachar who provided for Zevulun, it was Zevulun who provided for Yisachar. Now on a literal level, this means Yisachar is greater. Yisachar has the privilege of being the teacher of Torah, of carrying on the legacy of Torah. Zevulun's doing business, lots of people do business. But he used his commerce and his business acumen, the fact that he was a missionful merchant. He knew he had a purpose. It wasn't just selfish business. He was doing business in order to provide for others, and especially to provide for Torah study. So therefore, because Tirasish or Yisachar is Aydei Zevulun, because the Torah of Yisachar can only happen when Zevulun is at work, as such, Zevulun comes first. So on a literal level, do I most understand this Rashi? It doesn't mean Zevulun is greater. It means Yisachar is greater. Yisachar enables Zevulun. So Yisachar and Zevulun, because the chicken came before the egg. That's what made it happen. But the interesting thing is that it says Smach Zevulun b'tzei secha. Zevulun should rejoice. It doesn't say Smach Yisachar v'Zevulun. The emphasis here, Ula Zevulun Amar. The pasuk begins not U Yisachar Ula Zevulun Amar. He says Ula Zevulun Amar. The pasuk opens with Zevulun. And it says Smach Zevulun. Zevulun should rejoice. And then we have a number of verses that speak primarily about Zevulun. The verse opens with Zevulun. It says, Smach Zevulun. Zevulun should find joy. Yisachar in his tents also. Amim har yikro. He, nations will call upon that mountain. And this is a whole discussion of how through Zevulun's business, outreach was performed. And people would come to the land of Israel. Because Zevulun was the only one who was engaged with peoples that were beyond the purview of the orbit of Jewish life. And as a result, people would come to Israel and they would see how Jewish people lived in Israel, and then he would be inspired and they would actually join the Jewish people as a result of Yisachar. Now the interesting thing is that none of the other tribes get this call to joy. Nowhere else does Moshe Rabbeinu say, Reuven, smach Reuven, Yehuda, be joyous. It doesn't say that. It only says it about Zevulun. So why do we say, why should he be happy? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Zevulun should be happy when he leaves this world. Why? Because a person, you know, comes to the end of life, people ask themselves, what did I accomplish? What did I do in this world? So if a person studied Torah, that transfers. That wealth transfers over to the other world. But a person did business, what am I going to take? I take the money with me? There's no currency there. So, well, how is Zevulun going to leave this world joyously? And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Smach Zevulun. You could leave this world joyously. You could know that you fulfilled your mission because it was through your business that Torah was enabled. You didn't just make money in a crass sense. You were a missionful merchant. And therefore, your business was meaningful. The Erech Chaim says that the emphasis on the joy is twofold. Number one, the profit that was gleaned as a result of the business was enabled the study of Torah. Number two, there's always this fear when you go into business, who says you'll succeed? Study Torah, work hard, you'll succeed. You can't fail in Torah study. If you really apply yourself, you have to succeed. But business in Hashem's sense. A person could work really hard and fail. And sometimes people don't work that much at all and they succeed. As you know, when it comes to business, you need to have a lot of mazel. So therefore, the Erech Chaim says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you need to be in a state of joy when you go out into business because you have Hashem's blessing. And you should know that you're going to succeed. And this is very interesting because it recalls one of the famous statements in Hayom Yom, where the Rebbe says, what is the Aveda of a business person? And the Rebbe says his Aveda, his services, that he should begin his day with full confidence in Hashem, to the point that he's joyous with the certitude that Hashem will provide his livelihood in ample fashion. He should begin his day with the simcha of the surety that things will go well. The Rebbe once talked about this idea of smach zevulun b'tzei secha, and he said something very interesting. He said all of the other tribes, the things that came to them, the blessings that came to them, like for example, the blessings heard before by Yosef, Hashem promises he will give Yosef fertile land. It's Hashem's giving. It's a gift. And the Rebbe says, we know that human nature is such, when do we feel best? When we work hard. Reitza Adam, the Gemara says, v'kav shalai. Everybody wants to accomplish things by himself. Zevulun, his success didn't just get handed to him. Even though business is mazel, success in business ultimately comes from Hashem. But Zevulun had to take the initiative. And he had to get out there and make it happen. And because of that, Zevulun had tremendous satisfaction when he was successful, because He did this. He built this. He made this happen. He didn't just feel it was given to him on a silver platter, but there was the idea of kaf shaloi.
I mean, do we believe in mazel?
Do we believe in mazel?
Yeah, because in Rosh Hashanah, that's where all the...
When somebody had a simcha, what did you say?
Mazel tov.
Why did you say mazel tov?
No, meaning like here, it's like a destiny.
No, I'm stopping you. Why did you say mazel tov?
Because it's a happy moment. It's
what is a happy? So say shah tov, shah sameach. Why did you say mazel tov?
Yeah.
There is something about mazel, right? It's not so pashut. But this is a big question. You're asking a very good question, a big question. It's beyond the purview of the next 30 seconds. So, ain mazel Yisrael, Yisrael's higher than mazel. The answer is no, we don't believe in mazel. For sure, we believe in mazel. The question, are we stuck with mazel? Can you go past mazel? The answer is yes, but we still say mazel tov.
Right.
Okay, it's not so simple. So I want to focus now for a few moments on the mystical or Hasidic perspective as to why Zvulun comes first. Zvulun gets joy. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't be joyous what he's doing, as if he's like supposed to find satisfaction in business. It doesn't say smach with the other things. The farmer doesn't get this call to be joyous. Zvulun gets the call to be joyous. And Zvulun still comes first. You say, well, it's a chicken and the egg. He's the enabler. But he still comes first. And that question is not fully answered. And the pasuk begins, smach zvulun. And then it says, ul zvulun amar. It doesn't say ul zvulun v'yisachar amar. Zvulun's name is mentioned twice. Yisachar's name is mentioned once. Zvulun is the primary recipient of this blessing. So there's a greater emphasis on zvulun more so than Yisachar. And it still like leaves us wanting. Zvulun's getting charged with joy. And he seems to be getting the lion's share of the blessing. But in fact, Yisachar is studying Torah, the Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. The study of Torah eclipses all else. Why is it this way? So the Rebbe once shared with us a very, very interesting perspective from the lenses of Hasidus, of how we view the Zvulun and Yisachar paradigm, and specifically the joyful, missionful merchant's kind of life. So Reish Lamed Dalet, Simen Yud Beis, page Reish Lamed Dalet. Rebbe, here we have a quotation of this Rashi. And the Rebbe says, Yesh lo vayres kadima zvulun yisachar. We really still need to explain the fact that zvulun precedes yisachar, and this explanation will be b'derech ha-chasidus from the perspective through the lenses of Hasidic illumination and teaching. Yiduim divri chazal. There's a famous words of our sages, which is found in the 16th chapter of Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash Parshas Nasi, quoted so often in Hasidic teaching, Nisave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lihi Yisloi Dira B'Tachtonim. God Almighty desired to have a dwelling place in this world. Kilaymar, in other words, Sheretzayne Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hu Lekveyalei Makay Mishkan. What does God want? What does God want? Forget what he wants from us. What does he want, period? What is this all about? Why was there creation? What is God looking for? And the answer is, God wants that this world should be a place in which his presence is known, in which his presence is felt. A place in which divinity is reflected. And where is that dira b'tachtonim? Where is that dwelling place? Where is that the novelty where God's presence is going to be known and felt and seen? Where? The answer has to be in this lowest world. Because otherwise, why did God need a lower world? If he just wanted to create a world where there would be some kind of creatures who knew him, he could have stopped while he was ahead. He could have stopped at the world of Atzilus, could have stopped at the world of Bria. Why keep allowing the devolution of worlds until you come to a place of absolute darkness where God's presence is not known or felt at all? What was the point? Why go there? You needed creatures? Malachim are creatures. They could know God. They know God and sense God. So why did you have to create a world in which we don't know or sense God altogether? The answer is because that's where God wants to be known. In Olam HaTachton, in the lowest world. In Olam HaGashmi, in the world of materiality and physicality. This, my friends, is the purpose of the Jewish people. Specific emphasis here on the Jewish people. We are not the only ones that have the calling to serve God. That's a mistake, a grave mistake, and it's technically and factually wrong. And the biggest proof is that non-Jews have mitzvahs too. And there were mitzvahs before the Torah was given. It's called the seven Noach laws, and they were binding upon the children of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov before the Torah was given. The seven Noach laws are something that applies for each and every single human. Every single human being can and therefore must endeavor to experience and develop a meaningful relationship with God.
In fact, they were given the seven mitzvahs of Noach even before we get the Torah.
Way before. They're given the seven mitzvahs of Noach when Adam and Eve were created. And then it was six mitzvahs of Noach. It became completed to seven. 100%. So, what's the difference between the Jewish people and everybody else? Is it just more of the same? Just, are we on the same continuum? They have seven mitzvahs, and our mitzvahs got divided into 613. Incidentally, many of the seven mitzvahs have multiple mitzvahs included. Like, for example, the mitzvah of aroyos, the mitzvah of prohibited intimacies, most of the things that a Jew is not allowed to do, a Gentile is not allowed to do either. But for us, it's considered to be individual mitzvahs. For the Gentile, it's one mitzvah. And for us, it's 40-something mitzvahs. That's the meaning of, you say this every single day. God wanted to make Israel meritorious. Because he wanted to make us meritorious, therefore gave them lots of mitzvahs. Yeah, why stop at 613? Make it 6,000. Make it 50,000 mitzvahs. Hirba? What's hirba? What does it mean, a lot of mitzvahs? The answer is Hashem made from the same mitzvah that he gave to the Gentile world. Hirba, he made multitudes of mitzvahs for the Jewish world. As the mitzvah of Aroyos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made multiple mitzvahs. The world, the whole world, all of humanity has a mitzvah of dinim, of living lawfully. We have dozens of mitzvahs that govern the Jewish judiciary and the legal process. So here, Balaam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many, many opportunities. He gives more opportunities to be able to serve Hashem. But this is the point. The Jewish people are not the only ones who can go to heaven. You don't have to be Jewish to go to heaven. There are many faith systems that claim that you want to go to heaven, you have to join them, otherwise you're not going to heaven. We don't say that. Every good human being who follows the calling of Hashem will go to heaven. What's the unique mission of the Jewish people? The unique mission of the Jewish people is not only that they should go to heaven. Not only that you should do meritorious things so God should love you and that you should be uplifted and exalted. The mission of the Jewish people is that the physical world should change. We're supposed to take the physical material world and modify it to the point that it starts to reflect God's presence instead of its natural, innate concealment of God's presence. We're supposed to re-engineer reality. And that's the matara of the Jewish people. Our job is to cleanse and to uplift and elevate the atmospheric reality around, the atmosphere of the reality around us. That it should become worthy, suitable for the presence of God. This Aveda is actually alluded to in Zvulun's name. What did Mother Leah name Zvulun?
Beit Zvul.
Beit Zvul. You know what a Beit Zvul is? Mm-hmm. Beit Zvul is a permanent dwelling. On a literal level, she meant Yaakov's dwelling will be with me now, because I've borne him six children. But it means Beis Megurim, a dwelling which is Ikri and Kavua, which is primary. The dwelling which is overriding. This is the main place. And Zeis Mishum, this is because Shadira B'Tachtonim, that creating a dwelling place for Hashem in this lower world, Avod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mukemes Be'ikar Aydei Avedasim Shel Elo Shel B'china Zvulun. It's not necessarily the Torah scholars who stay within the inner orbit of Torah study, and they don't really venture outside, because then you didn't change the outside world. Who changes the outside world? Those who go outside. Yisachar is Tzeitzecha. Go out. Zvulun. Smach Zvulun B'Tzeitzecha. Zvulun should be joyous and is going out, because going out there, and Anshe Asakim, merchants, people in business, the people who are constantly engaged and involved with the material outside world, with the broader orbit, and they utilize the material, physical, and tangible reality for the purpose of heaven. That's actually how you elevate the world, by using it for a holy purpose. And you use it for a godly purpose, that elevates it, that uplifts the world and changes it. Let's say the chlima for the purpose of the study of Torah and fulfillment of mitzvahs. And zel vata, my dear friends, this is the reason. Lahakdama zavulun, for the preeminence of zavulun. Mesamel is bale asakim, represents the merchants of business li yisachar. Who yisachar is mesamel, he represents and is a paradigm primarily for those who are engaged in Torah study. Shekeim ebechinas tachlis umataras habriya, from the perspective of the ultimate mission and purpose. What is the penultimate of creation itself? Hakomas dir betachteinu avura kadosh baruch hu, the establishment of a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. Avedase shel zvulun, from that perspective, the work of zvulun chashuva v'nailas yesa, is even loftier and greater and more impactful. So, if you're not a Torah scholar, locked up in the inner environment of Torah study, and you're out there in the world, take heart and be joyous. Be a joyful, missionful merchant. Because at the end of the day, you have the keys to unlock the potential of reality. You're able to bring about the Dira B'Tachtonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. May it be. Speedily and in our days. Amen.